But I want to ask you a question in setting up this message this morning. Have you ever lost something and panicked over it?
Today
or any other time? You know, car keys, and you panicked. I one time actually lost my car because I forgot where I parked it and I thought it was stolen. And so I was ready to call 911 and say, you know, there's a GLA and it's my vehicle. But I had gone out the opposite side of the store and didn't realize both sides looked very similar, and my car was on the opposite side in the parking lot. I think all of us could recall losing something and going crazy looking for it. And I know whenever I ask Myung-cha, my wife, have you seen such and such, she'll always respond with, where did you leave it? I wouldn't be asking you where it is if I knew that. But I remember, on a more serious note, my wife and I'm always telling these stories about being at the mall. You must think that's all we do is shop 24/7. It's just that there's so much traffic at the mall. There's so much interaction between people that there's a gazillion sermon illustrations by just sitting outside of Starbucks. But this time, I was in the mall and I saw a woman who was frantically screaming for the name of her son, obviously. She was so panic-filled that she had such fear on her face as she ran down the hall. It was quite startling. Everybody just stopped from what they were doing and wondering, what can we do to help this woman? She was just panic-stricken. She seemed so desperate. I could only imagine. We talk about losing your car keys or misplacing where you parked your vehicle. But a child was very frightening when all of a sudden one of the mall security guards showed up with her little 5-year-old son. And she dropped to her knees and she was yelling at him and kissing him all over his face at the same time. Where were you? Kiss, 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 right? Apparently, she became a little preoccupied with her shopping, only turned her back for a second, and little Dennis the Menace took off to another part of the mall. Well, our text this morning doesn't take place at the Smith Haven Mall, but in Jerusalem, and in the road leading from Jerusalem back up to Nazareth in the region of Galilee. And the story is not a boy in the mall who we may call Dennis the Menace. I think she called her son Joey, but it's actually not a 5-year-old. But we learned from the text this morning, it's a 12-year-old, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, along with his family, most likely other families and friends and people who lived in their community, had traveled down to Jerusalem for one of the holy feasts, the high feast of Passover. And what they would do is they would travel like in caravans. Whole communities would get together and they would travel to the holy city of Jerusalem and then back home again when the feast was over. The Bible says that they were traveling a full day out of Jerusalem back to Nazareth when they noticed that Jesus was missing. Now, apparently, they too turned their backs for a moment, thinking their son was with them, and he wasn't. Now, before we judge Mary and Joseph as being neglectful parents, how could you be traveling a full day and not realize that your kid wasn't with you? Again, these were large groups. They didn't travel as individuals. So I have to assume that there were large numbers of kids and teenagers. And I know as a parent, I would let my kids play with those kids as they're traveling back, get them out of your hair. And they're going to have a lot of fun traveling back to their hometown. And so Mary and Joseph must have thought that Jesus was with these kids in this large crowd of people. Be that as it may, after a day's journey on their way back to Nazareth, they realize he's missing. And they were going home without him. Keep that thought in mind. They were going home without Jesus. Now, the first thought that entered my mind as I read this passage was that panic-stricken mother that I saw in the mall. I can only imagine what had gone through the mind of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she realized that he was missing. She was blessed with this son, and somehow she had lost him. And I think that's every mother's nightmare, is to lose your child. And as typical parents are, I'm sure Mary looked at Joseph and said, "I thought he was with you." And Joseph must have said, "Now, wait a minute, Mary. Jesus is always by your side. I thought he was with you. Don't blame me." And after thoroughly searching this caravan and going up and down that road back to Nazareth, they came to the realization that Jesus actually was not there in their midst. Now listen to this. They travel a whole day back to Jerusalem. They were a day out. Now there's a day back. That's 2 days. And it tells us that they didn't find Jesus for another 3 days. Could you imagine what was going through their minds? Now, some may say, "Oh, come on. You mean it took all that time to..." Yeah, because Jerusalem, during the high holy day of Passover, was packed and swelling with people, just like Times Square on New Year's Eve. There were tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people in that city of Jerusalem. And so they must have searched every quadrant of the city of Jerusalem, looking for their son. "Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen my son Jesus? He's about this tall. He looks like this. He was wearing this the last time we saw him." It states that everyone who heard Jesus, after he had stayed behind with those teachers and rulers of the law, that Jesus was sitting there listening to their teaching, listening to these teachers of the Jewish law, and asking questions and making statements. It says that everybody was amazed. It states that even Mary and Joseph were astonished by this boy's knowledge of the law. And just like that mother in the mall, Mary grabs her son in verse 48, and these are the words, and I'm quoting, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching all over for you." And what must have sounded like a wise guy answer, listen how Jesus answers, "Why were you searching for me?" You know what Mary and Joseph said after that? "Oy vey." "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And Joseph must have thought, "Son, your father's house, me, your dad, is up in Nazareth." In verse 49, "But Mary and Joseph did not understand what Jesus was saying to them." And Jesus, now, they left without him, and now they're leaving with him back to Nazareth. I found it interesting that Mary and Joseph went home with Jesus. Actually, in fact, after his birth in Bethlehem, where did they go after Bethlehem? Can anybody tell me? I'll give you a prize, an extra bagel during fellowship hour. Where did Jesus go with Mary and Joseph from Bethlehem? Anybody? Who? Yes, where? Yes! You get an extra bagel. They had to flee to Egypt because Herod was a danger to their family, and they were told, "Do not return back home, but flee to Egypt," and that's what they did. Good answer. But anyhow, my point is, they went with Jesus when he was born, and then they left without him when they left after the Passover feast, and then they went back and found him, and now they're leaving home with him again, back to Nazareth. Jesus stayed in Nazareth, you know, and it's until he was 30 years old, until he started his ministry. And he was a good son, the Bible says. He was an obedient child. In verse 51, it says Mary would treasure all of these things that she was gleaning from her son as he was growing up. She would treasure them in her heart. So last week, not too long ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ when God broke into the darkness of this world in the form of a child. The child was also God, and that child was Jesus Christ. This was all foretold by the prophets of old, that a Messiah, a Savior of the world, would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and it came to pass on that first Christmas night. Those prophecies came true. 12 years go by now from that birth, and Jesus is of an age. At 12 years old, what happens to boys in the Jewish faith? Bar mitzvah. And girls? Bat mitzvah. What happens in the Jewish faith is that when one turns 12, that person transitions into manhood or womanhood in the faith of Judaism. And so this is of an age that Jesus was on that day when they found him in the temples of the court, under the teachings of the great scholars of the laws of Judaism. And I would surmise today, by the way, that Mary and Joseph left for home without Jesus that day. And I would surmise that many people today who are traveling the road of life leave home without Jesus too. I really believe that. Busy, engaged in our daily routines, caught up in the quick pace of our world, heads filled with all kinds of information. And how many know a lot of the information you get on the news today is not good information? I think there are more therapists today than any time in the time of history. It's a very trying time to live in. People pursuing advancement, career successes. And none of these things, by the way, in and of themselves are necessarily bad. It just means that there are many who are engaged in life without a connection relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this, and I know it from personal experience. Yeah, we could make it through life without Christ. Yes, you can. It's proven every day. But I want to tell you this, that it's a tough road. And when you've got Christ in the center of your life, no matter what comes your way, you can handle it. Because he'll sustain you. He'll uphold you. I'm not even talking about eternal life implications. Okay, that's a biggie. But I'm talking about just walking the road of life in this life without Christ and how difficult that is. And God is saying to us that this week, as we end out this year, if we seek Jesus, we'll find him. He's not hidden from us. Just as he was out in the open that day, he wasn't hiding, playing hide and seek with his parents in Jerusalem. He was right there out in the open. And Jesus is out in the open today. For anybody who seeks him, they'll find him because he's available. And when we travel back seeking him, we can then move forward and go home with him, just as Mary and Joseph did when they left Jerusalem, finally, to head back to Nazareth. Connecting with the Savior is so important. It really is. Even the baptism that we're going to be celebrating in a little while this morning is a connection point with the Lord. When we baptize little Nora, it's a connection point where she is marked as a member of the family of God in her life. In verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew up in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and men." That is our prayer for little baby Nora Michelle this morning, that she would grow up in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God and other people around her. And that's what happens when we grow up in the faith community. I want to share this. I actually feel sorry for people that are not connected to Christ and a faith community, because I think there's so much missing there. So when all those challenges come in on us, how do we deal with it? I mean, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own resources. Because when you have Christ, you know, you could just turn that over to Him. And I've experienced that so many times in my personal life. That's what happens when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. We experience God's forgiveness and reconciliation. Listen, friends, I'm sure every one of us, with the exception of this little baby, have done things in our lives that we're ashamed of. That we've all done things to disappoint others and disappoint God and ourselves. Every one of us could think of an event, a situation, a circumstance, something that we engaged in where it would be awfully nice if we knew we were forgiven. To experience God's unconditional love, God's wisdom and guidance, not our wisdom, but Him through the Holy Spirit guiding us through our lives, through those tough spots. God's strength to get us through those challenges. God's joy when it seems like there's nothing, absolutely nothing to be joyful for and about. And yet we have the joy of that unspeakable joy reigning in our lives. God's peace, friends. If you had to ask me what are people pursuing in life, it may look like a new car, a new house. It may look like a new job, a new position. But I'll tell you what people are really looking for. And I think you'll all agree with me. People are looking for peace in their lives. We want peace. We want to be able to rest our heads at night and sleep without being anxious and overwhelmed by the daily events in life. We all want peace. And the scripture says when you have the peace of Jesus Christ in your life, He'll give you that peace which passes all understanding. And that's why it's so important to go home with Christ. So as we're about to close out this 1 year of 2018, and as we're about to enter in a whole new one of 2019, it is my prayer that we would consider going home with Jesus Christ in our hearts this morning. Accept that gift, as the choir sang, the gift of a king in our hearts. Let us not leave Him behind as He was left behind in Jerusalem that day. Seek Him out, because He's certainly seeking us. I could assure you of that. When people say, I found Jesus, I don't understand it because I never knew Him to be lost. He's looking for us who are lost. And when we find Him, my friends, I promise you one thing. We'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. So maybe it's a good idea as we close out this year, you know, perhaps you ask Christ into your life at confirmation, you know, maybe 12, 13 years from now, little Nora will stand up and say, you know, my parents stood in for me back on December 30th, 2018. Well, today I, Nora Michelle, stand up for myself, that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe we've all done that. We've accepted Christ. But maybe we could end this year by just saying, I receive You in my heart again, Lord. I place You on the throne of my heart as I end out this year. And so if you're comfortable with this, and frankly, even if you're not comfortable, if you would just pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, as I end out this year, I welcome You into my heart to be the Lord of my life, to be that Prince of Peace where I find no peace, to be that joy when it seems like I'm joyless, to be that hope when I have faced times of hopelessness. I make You the Savior of my life. And from this day forward, I will follow You. And with Your help, I will be Your witness to a broken world. Thank You, Lord. Forgive me for anything I may have done. that has disappointed others, myself, and you. And wash me with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And make me that new creation, a new man, a new woman, in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.